Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Eberechiesa start for Arsenal against Liverpool?
Tactically, Martinelli will give Arteta a little bit more of what he wants. But if Martin Odegaard is unavailable, then there's no reason why Eberechiesa shouldn't come in.
Is Nick Voltimada worth £69 million worth of Newcastle's money?
I think Newcastle's signing a really great player, as long as they're willing to be patient with him.
And can the latest England squad get the Thomas Tuchel era up and running?
What a ball that is. First time from Anderson. Chris Wood takes on his man and scores.
I didn't foresee a 60-yard pass straight down the middle of the pitch all the way on the ground.
Hello, I'm Adrian Clarke, in for Ian McIntosh, and welcome to Route 1 in association with FOTMOB. You know the drill by now. It's football, fast, no faff. Let's go Route 1. Champions League draw was made yesterday, and for anyone who'd had enough of UEFA's self-promotion and switched over, or simply fell asleep as they explained the format, let me inform you, there was a distinct reunion vibe to the fixtures. Trent Alexander-Arnold will return to Anfield with Real Madrid, booze guaranteed of course. Kevin De Bruyne will emotionally step foot on his old stomping ground with Napoli at Manchester City. Arsenal renew acquaintances with old foes Bayern Munich, and David Luiz has the chance to show his new Paphos FC teammates his old haunts around Stamford Bridge. But that's enough about fixtures in the short-term future. Let's move on to fixtures in the very immediate future, and there's only one place to start. 4:30 Sunday at Anfield for Liverpool versus Arsenal, the champions versus the runners-up, the second favourites for the title, hosting the favourites. It's true. Look it up. Now, Liverpool's forward line is fluid and it's firing, but Arne Slot's side have looked wobbly at the back this summer. They've conceded twice in all three of their matches so far, if you count the Community Shield. And Arsenal, on the other hand, are yet to leak a single goal. Could that solidity swing this ridiculously early title six-pointer the Gunners' way? And what of Eberechiesa? Will he make his debut at Anfield? And where's he going to play in Mikel Arteta's starting 11 on Sunday? Harry Simeu from the excellent Chronicles of Aguna podcast is here to field our questions. H, over to you.
Arsenal's defensive capability will give them the belief that they can go anywhere and they can get the best possible outcome. We've seen it over the last few years on multiple occasions. Arsenal turning up at very, very difficult places and getting over the line, first and foremost, because defensively they were solid. You'd argue, though, that neither of these two sides, despite very positive starts in terms of results this season, have been at their brilliant best. Is it a six-pointer at this stage in the season? I think it could do you wonders in terms of confidence if you win it. If you lose it, though, it's early enough in the campaign, I think, to be able to dust it off and move forward. Confidence that you can take from a game like this will be huge, but I don't think it's quite the six-pointer that people are making it out to be. I don't think it can be at this stage of any given campaign. For Eberechiesa, an opportunity to make his Arsenal debut, and he will definitely, won't he, be chomping at the bit. We saw his emotional arrival at Arsenal at Emirates Stadium last weekend, and it was beautiful to see. But where does he play if he does come into the 11? That question, I think, is very much dependent on the fitness of Arsenal's captain, Martin Odegaard. If he's available, I don't think Eberechiesa will be picked over Gabriel Martinelli on that left-hand side. And I think that's because tactically, Martinelli will give Arteta a little bit more of what he wants for a trip like this one. But if Martin Odegaard is unavailable, then there's no reason why Eberechiesa shouldn't come in and be that creative hub for Arsenal in midfield. Will he press the same? He better get up to speed nice and quickly. Maybe won't give you what Odegaard gives you off the ball, but on the ball, we know what he's capable of.
Thanks, Harry. You can find more of the Chronicles of Aguna on your standard podcast apps and on YouTube, and I recommend that you do just that. Just a quick one from me. I'd love to see Eze start, and although I fully accept that Martinelli's work rate might give him the nod with Arteta, the lift and the extra creativity it'd give Arsenal to have him out there would maybe trump that for me. Look out for Gyökeres trying to target an out of sorts Konate down Arsenal's left channel too. And I'm fascinated to see how Ekitike, who's looked brilliant by the way, gets on against Saliba and Gabriel. This fixture usually produces goals, but because it's so early on in the season, I do wonder if it might be a little bit cagier than some are expecting. It will definitely be fast and furious. And my prediction, and the splinters are absolutely here, my prediction is a 1-1 draw. But you don't have to wait until Sunday for your entertainment. In fact, you can start in just a few hours' time with the first top-flight Hamburg derby for 15 years. As St. Pauli visit the Volkspark Stadion. Catch that one on iPlayer at 7:30. Then at 8 o'clock, Leicester City entertain Birmingham City. They were two leagues apart last year, but are two places apart as we speak. This kind of Midlands derby kicks off the weekend's championship fixtures. Saturday begins with a lunchtime West London derby as Chelsea take on Fulham. Then we have Manchester United hosting Burnley at 3 in what could potentially be Ruben Amorim's last game there. And the 5:30 game sees Leeds attempting to bounce back from a pretty bad week at home to Newcastle United. Second place, Middlesbrough also hosts rock bottom Sheffield United in the Championship. And if you're looking for a bit of continental drama, tune into Triller TV. No, neither had I. To catch Sporting Club de Portugal's tasty looking clash with Porto. Sunday starts with a double dose of derbies from Scotland. Old Firm first, Dundee second. Watch them on Sky Sports from 12. Brighton and Manchester City both try to bounce back from 2-0 defeats against each other at 2. And Villa go in search of their first league goal this season against Crystal Palace at 7 o'clock. And we've also got Lyon versus Marseille in the continental drama slot on Amazon Prime at 7:45. There's even a late night derby from Brazil. Corinthians versus Palmeiras, if you fancy it, but at 10:30 on a Sunday night. We should all probably be thinking about bed by then. Earlier this week, we brought you news that may have hinted at the beginning of the end of the Alexander Isak saga as Newcastle bid for Wolves striker Jorgen Strand Larsen. Well, the Magpies have made a breakthrough with a different striker. Newcastle have agreed a £69 million deal with Stuttgart for Nick Voltermada, potentially eclipsing the club record fee they paid for Isak. Voltermada's encouraging, but by no means full season at Stuttgart, and his top scorer status at the under-21 Euros has had Bayern chasing him all summer. The Bavarians have had three bids rejected, but Newcastle have channeled their own striker frustration into the heftiest of bids to finally force Stuttgart's hand. Does this £69 million fee speak of Newcastle's increasing desperation? Or is the 23-year-old the real deal who'll prove to be value for money? Seb Stafford-Bloor, over to you.
There's still some development needed. The thing to remember with Nick Voltermada is that a lot has happened in the space of a year. Beginning of last summer, he left Werder Bremen on a free transfer and moved to Stuttgart. And then he really caught the public's imagination. He's a wonderfully intricate player. When you look at him, obviously 6'6", he looks like he should just be a target man, like an old-fashioned target man like you used to find in the 90s. But really, he's a very technical, very creative, very skillful player. He's a goal scorer, but I would say that he's really more of a cross between a number 9 and a 10. Yeah, there's going to have to be some adjustment, particularly physically, where sometimes he can struggle against really physical centre-halves. But I think Newcastle signing a really great player, as long as they're willing to be patient with him.
Oh, and while we've got you, Seb, after two outstanding custard pies from Morgan Gibbs-White and Eberechi Eze, it looks like Spurs finally have their silky playmaker in Xavi Simons. Have they lucked out here or not?
Potentially, because I think if you go back to the beginning of the summer, I think a lot of people would have expected Xavi Simons to move very early in the window and to command a lot more interest. As it is, I think there's been some reservations about him, and Spurs have profited from that. But there are still some things to work out. He didn't always have the best time at RB Leipzig. His career there didn't end particularly well. There's some personal issues. So there are some things to get over, but he's still a very, very young player. And his talent ceiling is sky high. So let's see. I think Spurs could potentially have got a really good deal.
You can follow Seb's brilliant Bundesliga coverage at theathletic.com. Head over now and grab yourself a sign-up offer if you haven't already. Thomas Tuchel has named his squad for England's upcoming World Cup qualifiers against Andorra and Serbia. You get the feeling this camp has to go well for Tuchel, who struggled to convince supporters with either selections or performances so far. I had the personal displeasure of being at Senegal's 3-1 win against England in June, and it was really bad. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who didn't make Real Madrid's starting 11 last weekend, has been dropped by England. Stop sniggering, Liverpool fans. While Elliot Anderson and Jed Spence do earn their first call-ups. Both have earned it, in my opinion. Anderson was unreal for England under-21s in the summer, and his form for Nottingham Forest is excellent, while Spence is developing into one of the toughest fullbacks around when it comes to trying to beat them in 1v1s. He's quick and strong and can also play on the left or right, of course. Elsewhere, like the rest of you, I'm still scratching my head at Jordan Henderson's continued inclusion, but it is a delight to see Adam Wharton involved again. I think that Rice and Wharton could make a seriously well-balanced centre-mid combo, and I want them to be a pair too. Rice, in my view, is wasted as the sole holding midfielder. England will beat Andorra, but performance levels must rise if they're to prevail in Serbia. What supporters need to see now is just a clearer vision for the way the team is going to play at the World Cup. I know that Bellingham, Saka and Palmer are ruled out, but it's high time we saw an identity from the side. Oh, and some more exciting football, please. The Europa League draw has pitted Nottingham Forest with Malmo in a rerun of the 1979 European Cup final. Expect nostalgia aplenty ahead of that one at the City Ground. Porto and Betis are among Forest's other opponents. Aston Villa will tackle the likes of Feyenoord, Fenerbahce and Bologna, while Celtic and Rangers both have to face Roma following those Champions League qualifier disaster classes. In the Conference League, Strasbourg, Schelbourne and AZ Alkmaar are among Crystal Palace's opponents. Bombshell news from Turkey, where Jose Mourinho and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer have both been sacked from Fenerbahce and Besiktas respectively. European competition qualifier defeats cost both. Fenerbahce falling to Benfica in their quest to reach the Champions League. Besiktas to Luzern as they bowed out of the Conference League playoffs. If Ruben Amorim is looking for omens, I suggest he looks away from the scrap heap of ex-Manchester United managers that has appeared overnight. Using that slightly harsh Man United reference as a segue, The Mirror's Darren Lewis reports that Kobbie Mainoo has informed the club he wants to join Napoli on a permanent transfer. The Italian champions can't believe their luck, having signed last season's Serie A MVP Scott McTominay in very similar circumstances. In light of that PR disaster, United have so far refused Mainoo's request. They've also turned down his request to leave on loan, and they also won't let him start a first team game either. Gotta pick something, guys. There's either money to be made or a player to develop. In more eye-catching transfer news, this time from the Championship, Ipswich have cheekily signed Marcelo Nunez from rivals Norwich City, the first Old Farm transfer since Andy Marshall made the same switch in 2001. £10 million is a decent whack for a player with a patchy injury record and only a year left on his deal, but moves like this always leave a bitter taste for supporters. Roll on, the first Old Farm derby of the season on October the 5th. We've had such a jam-packed show today, we've left no time at all to read out any correspondence. Sorry about that, but Macca will make amends on Monday when he's back from the seaside. Just email route1pod@gmail.com or catch in on Blue Sky or LinkedIn. And make sure you check out all the good stuff on trackrecordmedia.org. That was Route 1. It was football, fast, no faff. I've been Adrian Clark. Your producer was Si Watts. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. And Route 1 will be back on Monday with Ian McIntosh returning to the hot seat. We'll see you then.